I'm excited to be with you guys today. It's an honor to be back with you, and I'm going to have the opportunity to be with you over the next couple weeks. And we're going to kick off a series today that's going to run for the next 2 or 3 weeks called Be About It. Now, I don't know how your New Year was, but whether you like it or not, whether you're excited about it or not, 2018 is here. We're here. We are in it. We are moving forward with it. We don't have an option. It's here and it's rolling. And, you know, every new year, I believe there's a lot of people, or most people, kind of take that time to really begin to think about maybe their goals, maybe their aspirations, maybe the things that they would like to change, or things that they would like to accomplish, or things that they would like to achieve. And so we set out on these goals, we set out on these paths, we start the new year excited about what's to come. And with that, I think that we've got to look at some things that we need to be about. I think God has a plan and a purpose for every single person's life. Your plans, your desires, God, I think, has put those inside of you. I think God puts dreams in our hearts. I think he puts goals in our hearts. I think there's things that we want to accomplish that God's given us. And so over the next couple weeks, I want to talk about the things that we need to really be about. And so if you have your Bibles, what I want you to do is turn to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, verse 23 and 24 is where we're going to camp out today. Just find that, open your Bible up or turn your Bible on, however you use your Bible these days, and find Luke chapter 9, verse 23, and just kind of hold that place, because that's where we're going to camp out today, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But as we jump into this message, let's pray and ask God to be a part of what we're going to talk about today. God, I just thank you so much for this new year. God, no matter what our situation or circumstance is, it is here. And God, I believe that you want the best for every single person's life in this place today. And so, God, I pray that we'd be attentive to you. God, I pray that you would speak today. I pray that you would move. I pray that these words would be your words. And God, that they would resonate within our hearts and minds as we listen today and as we leave this place, so that we can really make the biggest impact in 2018. And so, God, I just thank you for this time. Speak to us today, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Several years ago, I was at a summer camp out in East Texas. I've had the opportunity over the last decade or so to spend a lot of time investing in young people's lives. I love it. I think young people are awesome. I know this generation coming up gets a lot of flack from those that are a little bit past this generation. We don't understand everything that they do. I feel like I'm kind of in the in-between. I get them a little bit still, but then there's so many things that I don't. I can wear holes in my jeans, but I don't understand the music that they listen to. There's all of these like kind of tensions, but I love investing in the next generation. I believe that every church should be investing in the next generation. I believe that there's a great opportunity for every church to invest in the next generation. And so I've been fortunate enough over the last 10 years to really be able to pour into young people. And I've had an opportunity to do lots of different summer camps and things like that. And so at this one particular summer camp, probably about 5 or 6 years ago out in East Texas, I got done speaking. There were hundreds of students at this camp, and I get off the stage and I'm hanging out with kids and I'm meeting them and talking with them, and everyone's super excited because the week's just getting started. They got 5 or 6 more days of this amazing camp. And this kid, I see him making his way through the crowd of students. And I noticed him because he had a certain, I don't know the word, maybe swag to his step. I don't know. What's the new lingo? Shaq, Michonne, swag. Okay, we'll use swag for today, right? And he had a basketball in his hand, and he kind of had this like step as he was like walking through the crowd, right? And like he would see people and he would kind of like do a basketball move on them, you know, in the air. And I was like, okay, like I see him making his way to me. This is going to be interesting. All right. And he comes up to me and he said, hey, what's up, man? My name's Josh and I hoop. I said, man, that's awesome. He said, yeah, I heard you talking about how you grew up playing basketball. And I grew up playing basketball. I've been around basketball my whole life. And I must have talked about it in that message. And so he comes up to me and he's like, yeah, man, I'm the best player at my school. I said, man, Josh, that's incredible. That's awesome. He said, yeah, the doctor said I'm going to be like 6'9". I said, man, that's really tall. He said, yeah, I'm going to make it to the NBA, the National Basketball Association. Now, for those of you that don't know what the NBA is, it is the ultimate level of athletics. You're going to get paid a lot of money to play basketball if you are good enough to make it to the NBA. And so this kid is like, I'm going. And I said, Josh, that's awesome, man. What school do you go to? He told me the name of his school. And I said, man, do you play for the team there? He says, nah, man, I don't play for the team. Me and the coach, we don't get along. I do my own thing. And I'm going to make it to the NBA. And I said, man, you said that. That's awesome. That's incredible. What a goal. What a desire. What an aspiration. That's a lot of hard work to make it to that level. And I said, you know what's so awesome, Josh? I love basketball. And there's a lot of guys at this camp that love basketball. And we're going to actually get to play. There's this incredible court at this camp. And everybody's going to be playing basketball this week. So I can't wait to see what you've got on the court. And he's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to show y'all. And he like walks off. I said, okay, cool. The next morning at breakfast, Josh comes back into the cafeteria where everybody was eating. And he's doing the same thing. He's like faking people out with his basketball and doing all this stuff. And I'm like, okay, I'm just watching him. Well, about Wednesday or Thursday of this camp, the games really started to get going on this court. There's hundreds of kids there, a lot of athletes from all over the area. And so they're playing basketball. And now if you're a basketball player, like you can't help but want to get in the game. You want to be competitive. You want to participate. You want to play. And so all of these guys, man, they brought their shoes. They brought everything. And these games were getting super competitive. And so I was like, man, I'm like old. I don't really play anymore. Like it hurts my knees. So I like to watch. So I just kind of went out there and I'm watching, you know, on the sideline. And I'm watching all of these incredible high school athletes playing basketball. And across the court, on the other side in the far corner, I see Josh. Now, Josh has his shoes on, Josh has his shorts on, he has his shirt on, and he's got his basketball in his hand, and he just is like dribbling the ball on the sideline. And then he'll throw it in the air every once in a while, and he'll catch it, and then he'll be talking noise to somebody, and like, oh, I got you on the next one. And I just kept watching Josh. And over the course of that entire week, you know what? I never saw Josh play one single game of basketball. I just saw him carry the ball around. I saw him look the part, and I saw him talk the talk, but I never actually saw Josh play one single game of basketball. And here's what I realized about Josh toward the end of the week. Great kid. I hope God's still doing great things in his life. But when it came to basketball, Josh loved talking about it, but Josh really wasn't about it. You see, in life, if you want to accomplish something, if you want to achieve something, no matter what it is, if it's in the athletic realm, in the education realm, in the business world, whatever it is, what I've learned in life is that anytime you want to achieve something, accomplish something, aspire to something, it's one thing to talk about it, but it's a whole nother thing to actually be about it. What I've realized is that talk is cheap. Actions speak. And I think that is so true of our faith as well. It's one thing to talk about being a Christian. It's a whole nother thing to actually be a Christian. I've been reading through the book of James, and James confirms this when he says in James chapter 2, verse 14, "What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but you don't show it by your actions, can that kind of faith save anyone?" Over the course of this series, I want you to write something down or put this in your notes, a statement that we're going to expand on, and it's this: action is the proof of authenticity. Through the course of this series, I want to talk about what it means to be an authentic follower of Christ. Now, we've got people in this room from all different walks of life. Some of you have been living for Jesus for a long time. Others of you today might be here for the very first time. We're excited that you're here. Some of you may be just kind of trying to figure out life, or you're giving church or God a shot in this new year. I don't know where your situation or circumstance is, but I believe if you just tune in today, what we're going to talk about is going to help you on this journey of life. I want to talk about this idea of being an authentic follower of Christ. Now we'll get to Luke chapter 9. Because I believe this is what Jesus is calling us to be. Jesus, to give you some context, has been doing his ministry. He's full-blown into the throes of ministry, and thousands of people are following Jesus. Right before we get to this portion of Scripture, Jesus has just fed 5,000 people. It says 5,000 men, so scholars believe there could be anywhere between 15 and 20,000 people that are following Jesus. He just fed this massive crowd with a few pieces of bread and a few small fish. And he begins to address the crowd, and here's what he says, is all of these people are following him. They're excited about what's going on, and then Jesus says this to the crowd. If any one of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross daily and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. Now, just in those two portions of Scripture, there's about 25 different messages that we could preach on. But what I believe, just to simplify and to summarize this for where we're at today as we're entering into a new year, I believe what Jesus is saying is, hey, if you want to follow me, you know what I need? I need people who are authentic about their relationship with me. I need people who are truly going to follow me, not people that are going to talk about following me, but people that are actually following me to the point of willing to give up their own plans, their own direction, their own goals, their own achievements, and adopt mine. And you know why I believe Jesus is saying that then, and he's still saying that now? The Bible is not saying that Jesus was talking to just those thousands of people saying, hey, I need them to be authentic followers. The Word of God is speaking to us directly today, saying right now in 2018, what Jesus needs more than anything are authentic followers. And we've got to ask ourselves the question, why? Why does Jesus need authentic followers? Because we live in a world right now, I believe more than ever, more than any other time in history, we have a world that is searching for authenticity. We have a world that offers everyone everything, but really gives them nothing. And so as people are journeying through this life, what they're doing is they're taking an evaluation of everything that they see around them. And they're going to try this, and they're going to try that, and they're going to go here, and they're going to go there. And then something in most people's lives begins to ask this question, why am I here? Why do I exist? What is the purpose of my life? Why do I feel unfulfilled? I believe every person gets to that point in their life. And so what do? They start to look for the things that will satisfy and fulfill them. And so they take a look around the world at all the things that there is to offer, and they begin to evaluate people's lives. We're all a part of this. We all do this. We all say, oh, look at that family. I would really like to have what they have. There's something about that family that looks like that might fulfill me, or there's something about that career or those people, and they go to this and they go to that. And unfortunately, in most things in life, you begin to pursue those things and you get involved with them, and all of a sudden you realize that they still don't fulfill you. And what I've noticed, unfortunately, in this world, as I've lived for a Christian for many years now, is that when people begin to say, oh, what does the church have to offer? Or, oh, what is that person that talks about Jesus and they wear a cross on their neck and they carry their Bible around and they're always talking about how good God is and how blessed they are and all of this. What about their life? And so they begin to evaluate and say, oh, maybe that will fulfill me. And they start to get a little bit closer and they start to explore. And then unfortunately, so often, they find out that the people that claim to be followers of Christ only talk about it. They're not really about it. Now, I want to stress something today. Christianity is not about perfection. I believe it's about progress. But what I believe is when we look at most Christians' lives, and I'm not preaching at you today, I'm preaching to myself as well. I think this needs to be a reminder for all of us. I believe that when we look at most Christians' lives in our world today, we see more people talking about it than actually being about it. And Jesus needs more authentic followers of Christ. He's saying, deny everything and follow me. And so today what I want to do is I want to look at what does it really look like to be an authentic follower of Christ. Now, there are so many layers of this, and I don't have time to speak for 8 hours today on all the things that we need to cover about being an authentic follower of Christ. So I would encourage you over the next couple weeks, be here because we're going to unpack this more and more as the weeks come. But today, what I think we've got to do is we've got to get back to the foundation of what it means to be a Christian. You see, we live in a world also that's big on emotion. People love to experience emotion, right? Emotions are great. God gave us emotions. Emotions are exciting. They're what make us feel really good, right? And I think we've packaged Christianity in a lot of ways as this feel-good thing, right? We feel good when we're worshiping, and we feel good when things are going great, or we go to a conference, or we have a great church experience, or life is just rolling, right? But here's the problem with emotions. Emotions, if that's how we live our life, don't keep us rooted. We can be moved emotionally, and that's fine, and that's great, and I believe there's a time and a place for that. But we as Christians have to be rooted foundationally. Let me say that again. It is okay to be moved emotionally, but we have to be rooted foundationally. And so what I'm going to talk about today may seem simple, but I don't believe that it's easy. Because being a Christ follower takes discipline. Being an authentic Christ follower takes discipline. And so we're going to get back to the foundation today and build off of that. So what does it mean to be an authentic follower of Christ? Let me give you another statement. Being an authentic follower of Jesus is simply a decision followed by action. Let me say it again. Being an authentic follower of Christ is a decision followed by action. To begin a relationship with Jesus, to start this journey with Christ starts with a decision that you have to make personally to ask him to be a part of your life. The thing I love about Jesus is he does not force himself on anybody. He doesn't force anyone to know him. He does not force anyone to love him. He doesn't force anyone to come into a relationship with him. He gives us the choice. Because if he had to force us, there wouldn't be love involved. And I believe Jesus' desire is for us to love him and to know him. And so he gives us the choice. And so that's the decision that every single person that walks this earth has to make at some point. Are you going to choose to have a relationship with Jesus or not? It's as simple as that. Now, if you choose to step into a relationship with Jesus, I believe that that is your ticket to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one can get to heaven except through me. I'm the door. I'm the way. I'm the only way. We live in a world that says there's a lot of ways to get to heaven. There's only one. It's Jesus. And so when you begin this relationship with Jesus by saying, Jesus, listen, I realize that I'm not perfect. I need a relationship with you. I'm going to ask you to be a part of my life. I believe in that moment when you sincerely ask Jesus to be a part of your life, he comes into your life. Your sins are forgiven. Your eternity is changed. But I believe that is only the beginning of what it means to be a Christian. Jesus said in John 10:10, I have come so that you may have life and have it to the full. So not only does Jesus want you to have a relationship with him so you can get to heaven, he wants you to experience this fullness of life. And so here's what I've discovered about being a Christ follower. You make a decision to follow Jesus, and then from there, it is a step-by-step, day-by-day, week-by-week, month-by-month, year-by-year, decade-by-decade journey of action. Little by little by little, becoming more like Jesus. And I believe as we journey with Jesus, as we've made that decision to ask Jesus to be a part of our life, to develop into an authentic follower of Christ, step by step, day by day, week by week, year by year, There's some things that we have to be about. I've got three things that I want you to write down today, and then we'll build on this in the coming weeks. The three things I want you to write down today, the first one is this. We've got to be about the Bible. We've got to be about the Word of God. So often we look at this book as just a book. This is the living, breathing Word of God. How will you ever know what God wants to do with you unless you've read what He's written to you? This is God's direction, His map for our lives. If we want to know what God desires for us, we've got to know God's Word. We've got to spend time in God's Word. We've got to study God's Word. We've got to set God's Word to our memory. We've got to allow it to be a part of our lives. The Bible tells us that we need to be transformed by what? The renewing of our mind. How do you renew your mind? It's by getting the thoughts of God into your mind, because the way you think is going to determine the way you feel, and the way you feel is going to determine the way you live. So if you don't have the thoughts of God in your life, you're not going to live the way God wants you to live. And so we've got to read the Word of God. I am astounded at how many people love to have the title Christian, but never pick up their Bible. In 2018, I'm challenging you as a church, we've got to be about the Word of God. I was at summer camp as a student years ago. I was 15, 16 years old. We lived in California. We were at this summer camp on top of this like hill. I think my brother was telling some of the students about it today, actually. We would throw these rocks off the side of the mountain, and it was probably super dangerous, but we were the pastor's kids, so we could do what we wanted, right? There's going to be some confessions. My dad and mom are sitting in this service today, so I'm going to tell them something they probably never heard before. One night, service was about to start at this summer camp, and I had wandered off into the woods in a place that was like off limits. And there's a reason that these places were off limits, because in California, there's things called mountain lions. But 16, you don't really think about mountain lions. You just think about doing whatever you want to do. So I'm out in the woods, and it starts to get dark. And now there's no lights out in the woods. And it got so dark, literally, it was one of those things I couldn't see my hand in front of my face, kind of dark. And I didn't bring a flashlight with me. And I had no idea how I was going to get back. I could hear the music. And I was like, okay, I know it's somewhere over there. So I just started like kind of like moving that direction, but I couldn't see the path. And there were thorns and there were bushes and there were trees. And I was like fighting my way through all of this. And all of a sudden, I caught a glimpse of a little light on top of this chapel building. And I knew if I just focus on that light, no matter what's hitting me, no matter what's coming my way, that is going to get me to the place that I'm supposed to be. The Bible's very much that way in life. In 2018, there are going to be some things that you may face. You may have goals. You may have aspirations. You may have the greatest expectancy of what 2018 is going to be. You do not know. I do not know what's going to be in my path. Life throws us all sorts of crazy things. But here's the thing about God's Word. Psalm chapter 119, 105 says, "Your Word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path." You will never know the direction that you are supposed to go. You will never get to the place that God desires you to be if you do not make the Word of God a priority in your life. Again, we're not talking emotional Christianity. We're talking foundational Christianity. You got to be about the Bible. Another thing that you've got to be about is you've got to be about prayer. You got to be about prayer. Prayer is an amazing thing. And I'll be very honest and vulnerable with you. Prayer is probably one of the areas in my life as a Christ follower that I have wrestled with the most. Anybody ever just have trouble praying, especially at night? Like, we could be honest, it's church. My prayers kind of go like this if I pray at night, because I usually do it in bed. And my head's on the pillow and it's like, God, thank you so much for today. And that's about as far as I get. I've had to learn to become disciplined in this area of prayer and figure out how I communicate best with God. I think God is big enough to handle any way that you want to talk to Him. He set some guidelines. He's given us some examples of prayer all throughout His Word. The great thing about prayer in the Bible is that God speaks to us through His Word. We speak to God through prayer. Prayer is this cosmic connection that we get to have with our Creator. It's incredible. If you take a step back and just think about the concept of prayer, prayer is this way of actually getting to communicate with God. It's hard to wrap our minds around it. And it can be difficult because I can have a conversation with you like this and I see your face and your expressions and maybe you laugh, maybe you don't. Maybe you're like, who is this guy? I don't really like him. I don't know. It's a different type of conversation. And so I think there's a lot of faith involved with prayer. I've learned in my life that I focus better on communicating with God when I sit and I focus and I write things out. Every morning, I grab a journal, I date the journal entry, and I just begin to pour out my heart to God. I just begin to tell God why I'm so thankful. I begin to praise God. I've been trying to focus on one aspect of God every day. Today, I woke up, I thanked God and praised God for the church. This thing that he has developed and used for us to come and to worship and to grow. And so I don't know what is going to work best for you in this communication with God, but we have got to be about prayer. Not just when things are going wrong in our life, but also when things are going great in our life. We have to have this continual conversation going with God. The Bible tells us to pray continually, pray without ceasing. You don't have to have 10 minutes in the morning where you sit down and you write or you pray. You can pray in your car. You can pray as you're walking. You can continually be in conversation with God. It's an amazing thing if you can begin to develop that in your life. And as you develop this time in God's word and this time in prayer, you are going to be radically changed. The Bible says this. It's an amazing thing. There's all sorts of scriptures about prayer, but I love this one. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 through 8. Keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on knocking and you will find. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened to you. That scripture goes on to say, as you as people who have sin in your life, if you know how to give good gifts to your kids, how much more does God know how to give good gifts to his kids? I kind of take that verse because I read the Bible in my own way sometimes. That means I could just annoy God as much as I want. Hey, God. Hey, God. Hey, God. Hey, God. Hey, God. Hey, God. You know what's so beautiful about prayer? God never gets tired of hearing from you. Ever. Not once has anyone prayed to God and God said, not today. He may not answer your prayer the way you want him to answer it, because here's the great thing about God. He knows what you want, but more importantly, he knows what you need. Learn to be disciplined in this area of prayer. Again, let me say it. We're not talking about just emotion. We're talking about foundation. We got to be rooted. We got to be about the Bible. We got to be about prayer. And one thing that I am very passionate about is that we have to be about the church. Jesus came to this earth. He spoke, he did miracles, but he established one thing, the church. I was talking with a friend of mine the other day who's also a pastor, and he was just talking about how there's kind of been this individualization, is that a word? Individualization of our relationship with God. Yes, it is a personal relationship, but we have been commanded to come together in community. And too many people are stiff-arming the church and saying, I have my own relationship with God. What? It doesn't even make sense. We have been commanded to come together, to worship, to corporately serve God through the church. When people say that, when they say, you know what? Oh, man, I love Jesus. I've got this amazing relationship with Jesus. Me and Jesus, we are tight. I read my Bible. I pray. But I don't do church. I don't like organized religion. I don't like the way they do music, or I don't like the way they do this, or I don't like that. And so, like, I just do God my own way. You know what you're essentially saying? I just got married a couple months ago. I love my wife. I'm excited that she's my wife. And if I'm getting to know you and you're like, Landon, I really like you. I love hanging out with you. Let's go to dinner. Let's hang out. Let's do life together. But I don't really like your wife. Me and you aren't going to get along very well. Our relationship isn't going to grow. I'm not hanging out with you. I'm not giving you anything. I'm not investing in you. When we say we don't want anything to do with the church or we treat the church secondarily, what we're saying is, Jesus, I love you, but I don't like your bride. We've got to shift our mindset as Christ followers to make the church a priority in our life. Too often in our culture, here's what happens. Here's the church, and what I needed to do is revolve around my life. I needed to work with my schedule. I needed to fit in my time frame. I needed to meet my needs. I need. And I'll be involved when it's convenient for me. What I believe we need to say is, I'm about the word of God. I'm about prayer, but I'm also about the church. And so here is the church. It is what Jesus has established as the entity to help change the world. And my life needs to revolve around it. I need to make it a priority in my life. And I can tell you this, when you make the church a priority in your life, everything changes for you. Serving within the church, being a part of the church, it almost doesn't make sense. You mean I give up some hours of my Sunday to be a part of this? I'm telling you, something supernaturally changes in your life when you make the church a priority. I believe people fail to discover the purpose of their life until they get involved with the church. They may get pieces of their purpose, but they're never going to discover the full purpose of their life until they root themselves in the church. The Bible says this. It's a translation that I read sometimes. It's called The Message. It's kind of a paraphrase translation. But I love the way that it puts this in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 through 22. It says this. This is for those of us that have asked Jesus to be a part of our life. You claim the title of Christian. Listen to this. You are no longer wandering exiles. The kingdom of faith is now your home country. You are no longer strangers or outsiders. You belong here with as much right to the name Christian as anyone. God is building a home. He is using all of us, irrespective of how we got here and what he is building. He used the apostles and the prophets for the foundation. Now he is using you, fitting you in brick by brick, stone by stone, with Jesus as the cornerstone that holds all the parts together. You see it taking shape day after day, a holy temple built by God, all of us built into it, a temple which God is quite at home. That's the church. God has a great purpose and a plan for your life. He wants to fit you in brick by brick, piece by piece, and the church is better with you. God has given you gifts, talents, and abilities that he wants to exponentially use to advance the cause of his kingdom. And so as Christ followers, for those of us that are Christ followers in this room, my challenge to you in 2018 is not to simply be to want to be moved emotionally, but be rooted foundationally. As you look at everything that you want to do in 2018, I think you've got to ask yourself, am I being about the Bible? Am I being about prayer? Am I being about the church? Lay the foundation for your life. Lay the foundation for your future. Because I believe we've all got to ask ourselves the question, am I just talking about it, or am I actually being about it? God, thank you for this time together. God, I fully believe that you are not interested in the way that we talk about living for you. You're interested in the way we're actually living for you. I believe that more than ever in our world, you are searching for authentic followers. And so, God, my prayer for everyone in this room that is a Christ follower, that claims the name Christian, that, Father, for 2018, they would begin to root themselves foundationally in authenticity, Father, by being about your word, by being about prayer, and by being about the church. And now maybe you're here today and you've listened to this message and you've heard the music and you're saying, gosh, I want to be an authentic follower of Christ, but I haven't even started that relationship. Remember, the starting point is the decision you make to ask Jesus to be a part of your life. If you've never made the decision to ask Jesus to be a part of your life, I want to give you that opportunity today. You don't have to jump through any hoops. You don't have to do anything crazy. You don't have to memorize any verses. It's simply about a faith decision. It's about saying, Jesus, I want to put my hope and trust in you. And if you want to make that decision today, I just want you to pray a prayer right where you're at. In your own words, with every head bowed, every eye closed, just say these words to yourself. Just say, Jesus, I want a relationship with you. Right now, right here, on this Sunday morning, I want to start a relationship with you. If you made that decision today, I would love to know about it. With no one looking around, if you would just slip your hand up for me. Just slip your hand up, and I'd like to pray for you. God, I thank you for this time. I thank you for every person in this room, Father. Many of us need to be challenged to be more authentic in who we've been called to be in you. And for those, God, that wanted to make a faith decision with you today to start a relationship, God, I pray that you would empower them, that you would fill them, that you would strengthen them, and God, that you would use them on this journey that you've called them to. We love you, God. Thank you for this time together. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Made that decision today, our elders will be down to come to receive you. We'd like to take you to that next step.
Promises are yes and amen. Beautiful Savior, you have brought me near.